Okay, here we come. Here we go. Another episode of the Dory on Purpose show. And I know I say this all the time, but I promise you, I might cry. Because this one today, this one goes deeper than the ocean, baby. We go way back like Afros and Cracker Jacks. And this is my big brother. I know y'all say, two women, y'all are understanding better by and by. This is my big brother, my big sister, my friend, someone who I aspire to emulate. I'm telling you guys, she don't like when I talk like this, but I tell you, I have watched her journey, and she's just absolutely amazing. So today on the Dory on Purpose show, we bring you my good friend, Miss Toni Simmons Henson. Sister, how are you today?
I am blessed. Dory, I love you. You always gas me up. Thank you so much. I feel the same way about you. I am so honored to be here. This is definitely your purpose. You have found your thing. This is it. This podcasting, you are a natural communicator. And I'm just so happy to be here. We're going to make history today.
We're going to make history today because Toni, I'm going to tell the audience right now, I met Toni over 40 years ago as a young freshman on the campus of Howard University. And Toni, I'm representing with my They Not Like Howard Bison shirt. Like, we were serious business students in the School of Business. Toni was someone who was a step ahead of me, a year ahead of me. So I looked up to her as a mentor. And then when I decided to pledge this illustrious fraternity, this business fraternity, Delta Sigma Phi, a business fraternity, she became my big brother and basically taught me so much about being a professional, you know, being a woman in business and understanding what I represented. And then the fact that she was a Jersey girl. Like, I'm telling you, she was one of the first persons who I saw dance for 6 hours off one song. You got to be from Jersey to understand. You gotta be from Jersey to understand that house music thing. I'm from Philly. See, we had rap music, we danced, we got off the floor. But I watched those New Yorkers and those people from Newark, because my girl is from North Jersey. They would put on one song, and I would go eat breakfast, eat lunch and dinner, and they would be still dancing off the same song. And I knew at that moment forward, we would be friends forever. Toni, you remember those days, those parties?
Oh my gosh, you have just tapped into something. Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, those stories are crazy. Oh, dance until eight o'clock in the morning. Leaving the club at 8 o'clock in the morning. Who does
We did it though.
8 o'clock in the morning, yes.
We could spend all day talking about Howard, but the reason I invited you as a guest today, because your life to me is something that many people would love to emulate. You made some very tough decisions in your life, and they all have led you straight to your purpose. And two things that I've always loved about you a lot, but there's two things that stand out. I loved your smile. Nobody smiled like Toni. I mean, you see, there it is. Nobody could bring those pearly whites to the forefront. And that laugh, that authentic laugh, when we get in the room and start acting crazy and Toni start laughing, it was a wrap. And I could tell that your journey brought you joy by the pictures that I saw. I could tell that you have found your space, and it made me so happy, Toni. It brought me to tears, especially when I read your book, and we're going to talk about later. But before we go on, I got to read you guys her resume, but then we're going to get into some questions. So I'm going to put up this while I read, because I don't like people to see me reading here, Toni. And let me tell you who this amazing woman is. Hold on 1 second while I get my phone to act right. Okay, here we are. Toni Simmons Henson is a distinguished nonprofit executive with over 30 years of experience in business development, event marketing, and arts administration. She is a published poet, a number one best-selling author, a public speaker, and an award-winning entrepreneur. Dedicated to fostering creativity and organizational excellence. Notably, Henson became the first African-American executive director of the Southeastern Theater Conference, otherwise known as SETC, the largest theater conference in the United States, where she led a significant organizational transformation, turning of a projected deficit into a six-figure surplus. Additionally, her accomplishments include streamlining processes, restructuring workflows, developing new job roles, negotiating vendor contracts to optimize cost benefits, and enhancing sponsor relationships with major companies like Disney Entertainment and Dollywood. During her tenure, she managed SETC's conventions featuring over 300 speakers, 275 breakout sessions, 5 theater festivals, and 2 mid-year conferences, attracting more than 4,000 attendees. In 2011, Henson founded Michael 68 Media, which produces the Atlanta Black Theater Festival, ABTF. Since its establishment, the ABTF has offered vital production opportunities for over 160 playwrights and a performance platform for over 3,200 artists and tens of thousands of patrons. The ABTF has notably been recognized as one of the 5 top theater festivals to visit around the world. Child, I ain't even start yet. Hold on now. In 2021, she and her husband established ABTF Travels, leading over 90 artists and enthusiasts to connect with their African ancestry. During their travel, they've inspired philanthropic initiatives towards constructing an art center for middle school in Elmina, Ghana. Henson holds a master's degree in public administration, focused on nonprofit management from NYU, and of course, a bachelor's of business administration from The Howard University, along with executive certificates in nonprofit management and women in leadership. As an artist, her poetry has taken her to stages across the globe. Married for 35 years, she and her husband are the proud parents of 4 adult children. Then I want to read one more thing that I've, and she don't know I have this. Tony says that she is called to learn, then teach, then inspire. And her statement is, in order to learn, I must listen. In order to teach, I must live by example, which she does on a very daily basis. And in order to inspire, which she does for me every day, I must allow God to fully use me. Ladies and gentlemen, if I have not said it already, let me introduce you to my friend, my sister, the one and only Miss Toni Simmons Henson. My God.
Oh, my gosh. No wonder I'm tired.
Let me tell you something, Toni. When I read your bio, I said, wow. What else can you say but wow? Toni, what inspired you to want to become who you are today? You know, you have this degree in business, and I watched you travel through corporate America to finally landing in a place where you're absolutely walking in purpose. What was your inspiration?
Family. I tell you, the older you get, the more reflective you become. And I'll be 62 this month. And when I look back, I think about my father, my beautiful mother, my grandfather, my aunts, my uncles. I had everything. My sister, oh my gosh, and you got a sister like I got a sister.
Yes, Lord.
Who knows all my secrets and does not judge me and loves me anyhow. My husband, and more than anything, God. But all of these things, I believe God sent me to hold my arms up, you know, to lift up my arms, so that I can be. I'm humbled by the love, by grandmothers, by the love, all the men in my family. I was blessed with a family full of men, uncles, strong uncles, not good husbands, but great fathers and family members. And just the examples that they set. I'm just so wonderfully blessed with a village that just always rooted for me. And yeah, that's it. That's the secret sauce.
That's the secret sauce. Now, how did you choose the arts? Because Tony, here's what I know. Knowing you the way I do, you know that saying, how you do anything is how you do everything? Like, you've always represented excellence, and you could have been excellent in business. You could have been excellent in politics. How did you come to choose the arts? What was it that attracted you to the arts?
That's a great question. I was always an advocate, like just a rebel in terms of standing up for justice. And I live on a scripture, Micah 6:8 Media, which is the same name as my company, which I named my daughter. Her name is Micah. And Micah 6:8 is the scripture, and is love justly, live justly, do love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Wow. And it's about, and that's just like my mantra, and I believe everybody needs one to be the core of their decision making. And so I was always about advocacy, and I didn't know how it was going to be. I thought I wanted to go to law school. I didn't get accepted. I ended up going to NYU, which is not shabby, too shabby, to the Wagner School of Public Service. And then I went into government service. So I've been all sectors, government, nonprofit, and worked in all segments, government, nonprofit, as well as private corporate sector. And then I decided when I was having my children, and I want to make the story short because it could be a long story. When I was having my children, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, right? That's when I left. I was prosecutor's detective, and that's when I was in the government sector. And I decided that I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. My husband supported that. We moved out of our house. We rented our house so we can get some extra income. And we moved into a two-bedroom apartment. And I was able to raise my children hands-on. And I was so grateful for that, for his support in being able to do that. And then in 2004, I got a little bit of money, and I wanted to invest in a franchise. So it changed my life. I wanted to find a franchise that I could bring my children into, because they were about 4 to 10 years old at that time. And I wanted to, you know, we're going to do this together. I was going to teach them business. So I stumbled upon a franchise called Drama Kids International. Okay. And that's how I got into the arts. And we taught children acting and speaking skills. And I was in Princeton, New Jersey, and it just grew. And it grew to 17 classes per week and 2 summer camps. And so I did that for about 4 years, but that was the hardest work I've ever done. But that's how I knew that the power of the arts in advocacy. And it was an incredible awakening, because I understood that if you can get somebody in the audience, you can really transform how they think about things. Mm-hmm. By telling stories. And what the arts does, what theater does, is it allows you an inside perspective into someone else's story. And what that does is that builds empathy, compassionate understanding, and it makes you human. because you can make a judgment about anybody, but if you don't know how they got from where they came, or how they got where they came from and how they got there, then you are making judgments based on false information or misinformation or bias or lenses that you have no idea what you're doing. And you could be judgmental, but when you know their story, you can sit back and say, ah, I understand now. And you can see past their faults and see their needs. And that's what the power of theater is. And I've realized that it can transform. So
I know that I always see your hashtag, we must tell our stories. And now that you've told that small story, I understand your hashtag even more, because Tony, I can relate. You know, a lot of people had a lot of opinions about me, but they didn't understand what I was going through behind the scenes, dealing with the depression in my depression years. And until I told that story, I was a prisoner to the opinions of other people. And just based on what you just said, there's so many people who are unwilling to share their story because they're embarrassed, because they're afraid of what other people say. And what I learned, Tony, in telling my story was that other people were behind me suffering from the same thing, and they needed somebody to come out and say, me too. Have you found that to be your experience in the arts, where people actually are freed because other people tell their stories?
Oh, absolutely. Hands down, absolutely. And but you know, it's funny, because I encourage everybody to tell their story until 2019. So from 2004 to 2019, 15 years, everybody else was telling their story and I was holding on to mine.
Wow.
And that's when the book came out. And I know, perfect segue, the Let It Go. And that's when I said, you know what, I got to share my story, because there's a journey here into womanhood, into queendom, that that I need to share. And I felt compelled to do that after a very, very traumatic experience. And I have permission to share. This is personal, my personal walk in my 35 years of marriage and raising children. Spent my entire life pouring into them. Even my business choice was about my children. It wasn't about what I wanted to do. It was what's best for my children. And I lost my voice. And when I lost my voice, it was the most, I didn't realize it, because it happens gradually. And so many women do this. We live for everybody, especially Black women. We live for everybody else. We laud our husbands. We laud our men, our sons, our brothers, our grandfathers, our fathers, because of Black maledom. You know, I call it Black maledom, Black male, growing up Black male in the United States. All right. So we've been, and I'm not calling God's name in vain. I'm calling on him to help me share this. We have been trained to protect our sons and our fathers. And we have been trained to defer us, our shields, to take bullets for them, figuratively. And so they have become our gods, our lords. And they have demanded that space in our lives. And we have shrunk. We as Black women have shrunk. I saw my mother do it. I saw my grandmother do it. I saw my aunts and uncles do it. I mean, my aunts do it. My cousins do it. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to write a book to help us get out of that sunken place. And all of this is residuals of slavery. It's no fault. Nobody's fault. It's just an awareness. And I had poured myself so much into my family that I lost my voice and didn't know who I was. Didn't even know. I look at some of the pictures when I was growing up, when I was raising my children, I look like, I didn't get my nails done. I didn't get my hair done. I didn't do makeup. Mm-hmm. And I didn't fix myself up. And I'm in those pictures looking like the maid, looking like the servant. And my My husband is sharp with the suit on. My kids all dressed up with their hair done. And it pains me to look at those pictures because I know what I was going through. It was all about getting them ready. You know, four children, I was getting them ready, getting them looking good and neglecting myself. So when I came and I birthed, let it go, Queen's got a shit too. I birthed it out of the need to say, here I am, here's my story. Please see me, hear me, love me, acknowledge me. Because everybody else was doing their own thing. And when it came to supporting mommy, oh, we don't have time for that. We can't go. We can't. So I did a Dave Chappelle, ran to Africa, spent 52 days in Africa.
Wow.
And literally on my husband's credit card, I had $3,000 on that credit card. And I said, I'm going to start traveling. I'm out of here. I need healing. And I was running. I was running for healing. And I found myself, and that's when I discovered that I was a poet, that was another story that was suppressed because a teacher, I had written, when I was in third or fourth grade, I had written a poem and the teacher accused me of plagiarism and I put it down, put my pen down, picked it back up at that point in time and wrote 26 poems in about 3 months and birthed, Let It Go. And it has healed me, and just discovering from so many other people's testimonies, it is healing for them as well. So I know that is God. That is of God when you share your story.
I ran over to my bookshelf to try and find the book because I know I had it in the center, but I couldn't find it in time. I am literally, when I read it the first time, I think I called you after I read it, and I said, Tony. All I can say was your name was Tony, because I had the shit too. Excuse my French. Like I was doing this as a single mom. So, you know, you were lording your husband and getting the kids ready. And I don't even, and I was trying to find a husband. So could imagine me, but I was still going through the nonsense. And to add to what you said, I was even eating cold food. Like I was eating cold food, Tony, because I didn't eat until the kids ate and I didn't do this until the kids did that. And I look back over my pictures too, Tony, I can relate. And if you're a woman out here in the comments, type some fire in the chat if you can relate, because Tony, that statement that you made, we've been trained. I want to put that back on the screen to protect our sons and our fathers and defer and become their shield. I watched my mother do that for my father, and both of them are resting in peace. But I could tell stories of how my father would be cutting up, and my mother would be like, that's my husband. You know what I mean? So listen, tell me a little bit about this journey. What was one of the biggest lessons? And you've kind of given us some. What is one of the biggest lessons that you learned? Because one of the parts that I loved about the book is when Tony came and found you. That part right there, how they say that part right there, I was like, did you better go, Tony? But tell me about what that meant to you, that he allowed you to, well, not allowed, you took your space, and how you two came back, and we just talked about it. It's been good. Tell us a little bit about that.
Whoa, that's the testimony right there. When I went to Africa, Tony, my husband is Tony too, by the way. If you're saying Tony, Antonio, believe it or not. And Antonio came to Africa, and he came and got me. And it was in January. I left in October, November. I left in November. And in January he came and got me, and I always kept in touch with everybody, but that was through Christmas and that was through the holidays. Now my kids are at home wondering where mom is at, and they said that was the worst Christmas of their lives. I said, okay, I'm teaching somebody something here. And then in January, the beginning of January, he came and he said, it's time for you to come home. And he changed, and he literally, he started listening. He went to counseling, I went to counseling, and we went to counseling. He got on the Dave Ramsey plan, and he got out of debt. We went from everything is paid off in our home. Everything is paid off. All of our debt is paid except our house. We got about 5 more years left on my house.
Wow.
He was on a serious mission to fix what was broken in our family. And we became stronger. He became a leader. And when you know you can follow a man that can lead, you love on him more, you nurture him more. He became a leader. And it wasn't about him anymore. It was about us. And that just, we call it marriage 2.0. It just transformed us. And it has been, and this was in 2019. So we had been married for 30 years.
Wow.
So the last 5 years, I would say we married, the first marriage was 30 years. The second marriage has been 5 years. And he said to me the other day, he said, you know what I realized? And this is 35 years. He said, you know what I realized? I realized that I cannot cage you. You are a free spirit. You are a free, that's our 35th wedding anniversary cruise. But he said, I cannot cage you. I cannot control you. I cannot manage you. You are a free spirit. And I realize in order for you to be happy, for us to be happy, I have to let you do you and be you.
Wow.
What and I looked at him like, damn, I've been saying this for 24 years.
What did you turn up? What, did you just get your ears clean, brother? What's up? Isn't this something?
It is. But at least life is a journey.
At least he got it, Tony. Because some men are still out here, and these women out here working so hard to just to be seen in their own marriages. Ladies, if you're in the chat today, and you ain't got to put your business in the street if you're not ready, but at some point, you're going to have to tell your story, as Tony said. And I ran back again, Tony, and I found it.
You got it.
Oh my God, I'm going to read it again today. I love there's one part in here, Tony, where you were in the water. This picture right here made me cry. Baby, I'm not going to give it away. I'm going to let everybody have a moment like I did, but you have to go. It's available on Amazon, correct?
Yeah, it is. It's available on, you can catch the link on the website, which is scrolling there under her story. There's a link to my book on Amazon. I do encourage you to read it. And I didn't write it for everybody else. I published it for everybody, but I wrote it for myself.
When
I knew that it was God. First of all, it was God inspired. But I knew that it was something significant when I was in Newark. I had gone. Actually, this is a class reunion. My husband's class reunion. And this woman I did not know walked up to me and said, I got your book. So apparently she had either seen it on Facebook or through my husband or something. And she said, I got your book and I carry it with me. I was like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
And she said, because I have to remind myself that I'm a queen and I read it. And she took the book out the bag. And I was like, well, I'll be. You're kidding. You know how, oh my gosh, that's why you got to listen to God, because you never know. Never know who you're going to touch. You never know who you're going to inspire. And she was there. She wasn't even a classmate. She was there with her boyfriend, who was a classmate.
That is,
and so I was crazy. Ain't that crazy? It was
no, that is
crazy God. To me.
That is absolutely a God moment, if I must say so. As much as I want to stay here, I want to transition because I know we're running close on time, and I want to talk about the ABTF because I have been telling you for years, I'm coming. I even remember the year that I was going to participate and, you know, keep missing these windows. Can you tell us, I know I got a piece of art here that we got a festival coming up in over the Labor Day weekend, and tell us about this ABTF. I love this graphic. It is absolutely beautiful. The timing couldn't be more apropos with what we're going through as a people. Can you tell us what we can expect at the ABTF this coming August, end of August, Labor Day weekend?
Well, I'll just tell you conceptually what the ABTF is. It's the Atlanta Black Theater Festival, and it is a place where you can find safety space to discuss. I mean, those these living room places don't exist anymore. The salons that we used to talk about, Maya Angelou and Mary Baracko used to sit around and talk about the plight of the Black community. This is a space and a place where you can come experience art. We have plays, we have discussions, panels, and we'll be celebrating our 14th year. It's every year Labor Day weekend. And this is, it's a place where you can just be you and be affirmed, loved on. And that's, again, our secret sauce is loving on us and affirming us and accepting us for who we are and celebrating who we are, our heritage. I'm going to tell you, it's the hardest work I've ever done, but it's the most rewarding in terms of, you know, outside of the home. And this year, hot off the press story, you get it first. We are partnering with Spelman and the Latanya Richardson and Samuel L. Jackson New Performing Arts Center. So we'll be partnering with them. We'll be using students this year, and our theater, the plays will be performed at that venue. So I am over the top excited about that. So, but it's a labor of love, yes.
You heard it first here on the Dory on Purpose show. Can you tell us, we going international, we getting breaking content. Tony, you're making me feel like a somebody muckety muck. Now, we're running out of time. I swear I knew this was going to be longer than normal, but I want to share some media here. But I want to say this, ladies, we plan all type of girl trips. We plan all type of family vacations. We do all that. This year, why don't we all meet at the festival in Atlanta over Labor Day weekend? Let's come together. You all get an opportunity to meet my good friend, Tony. I don't know if you'll be able to meet her because she'll be working like crazy over the weekend, but at least come and learn a little bit and hear some stories that have the potential to change your life. I love the theme, Rooted in Resilience. That has been one of the things that I think define me, that I have been very resilient. I've come back more times than most people have fallen down. And I thank God for that. That is a gift from God. So I'm looking forward to hearing. And I'm going to ask the girls. I told you, me, Kathy, Twyla, and Faye supposed to be doing a girls trip. I'm going to say, we need to go to Atlanta. It makes sense, okay? We go see Tony and dance for 6 hours to one song. I don't know if we can still do that, but we're going to try. So let me show some pictures. Tony, tell us about this picture because I love this picture.
Oh, that's my dad and my mom and my sister, the three pillars of my stool.
Three pillars of her stool.
It just came out. But my father was, may he rest in peace, was a cop in the 1960s. And can you believe that? In the city of Newark, he started in March, the month I was born. And he was in the riots, during the Newark riots. And as you can see, he was very handsome.
Wow, I'm thinking John Shaft. I'm like, look at him.
Yeah, that's what they used to call him. They used to call him John. When that movie came out, they used to call him. But my father was radical. He was a man's man. He was just one of those men I don't even know if they make them like that anymore.
I had one too, Tony. So you know I know. And now let me ask you, is that the left next to Dad or is that Wanda? Which one is you? Because I can't tell.
I'm the one next to Dad. I'm the one on the same side as my father.
You look like you're about to bust out laughing.
we were so silly. And then my mother, my beautiful mother, she'll be 80. She's gorgeous. She'll be 84 this year. And, you know, she has her own story. She is, she was also in law enforcement. She's retired. She retired at 55. She's been retired for almost 30 years.
Wow.
And she was a correction officer and she worked at night all night so she could be available when we got home from school. Can you believe that?
You emulated that. You did the same with your children. I remember visiting your house in Jersey, and I all I remember is the backyard was massive, and didn't you have horses or something on your house?
They weren't ours. We had a stable, and we rented it out.
I remember those. I said, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, you got a good memory. Oh, my gosh.
Remember, I was working for Bristol-Myers Squibb, and I had to go to Princeton for training, and Tony's like, stop by, and I'm like, I am, because I've never missed an opportunity to meet Tony. So let me go real quick. This is tell us about this.
Oh man, this is my son, my oldest son, my firstborn, And he graduated from the Naval Academy that day. And
Wow.
so I was so happy. And he is now first vice president of Citicorp.
Wow.
Citicorp Bank. He's vice president, Citicorp Bank. He is 31 years old.
Wow.
And he is single. I need some grandkids, y'all.
Now,
So
hold on for a lead. Don't be telling everybody. Let's do this hookup behind the scenes. Hold on. Let me just.
you
Let,
know, I
my girl
believe in
be 30 and stuff.
arranged
She a good girl. She a good girl. Let me tell you. We'll talk off. Don't y'all be. Look, let me take that picture down real quick before I have to hurt somebody. Now, I think I did. I thought I had got a picture of Micah, but I didn't. God,
That's okay,
your
yeah.
beautiful daughter. Tell us a little bit about Micah. Well, you have three daughters. No, two daughters and two sons, correct?
Two daughters and two sons, and my baby boy is finding himself. So
Okay.
so I share his story only because it's a part of my story. And but we adopted him when he was 3 years old, and he has been he was a troubled child, and he's estranged. He does not connect with us anymore. So if you don't have any pictures of him because he doesn't connect with us. He doesn't consider us his family, unfortunately. It's heartbreaking, but it's his journey. And my sister swears he's coming back. So hopefully he'll be back one day. And then my
Okay.
baby girl, Kobe, she's an architect for the Department of Defense. And she graduated from Hampton at HBCU. And then my other daughter, she's a PhD in math, Micah. And she teaches middle school in Georgia.
Wow. Wow. What? So that staying home paid off. Your children have definitely done well. And it sounds like it was worth it. I got so much more to share, but we got to stay to our format. I want to do one thing though. I want to talk real quick about your travels because lately I know your new purpose venture is you're doing a travel vlog. And I have for the past 3 days been living vicariously through your vlog. Now, this might get a little messy, but I got to show some of the travel that Tony has done. Let me go here. Let me see if I can start it on the Facebook page first and get it moving. If we can't make this happen, then I'll
While
just
you do that, I'll go ahead and share about that. And that was inspired by my 52 days in Ghana, when I realized that the world is so big and we are so small, and there's so many cultures and so much history. And then I started traveling, and my goal was to hit five continents in 5 years. And I can tell you that I will be seven continents this year, and not
Wow.
only seven continents, but I've hit several of them multiple times. So guys, goal setting is very, very, very important. And I'm grateful to God to have been able to travel to over 40 countries and regions all over the world. And
Wow.
travel is my therapy. It is my therapy.
I can dig it. I'm on your heels, girlfriend. I'm watching, I'm learning. I'm loving you more every day. When I tell you it's a love thing, girl, I'm so glad that I chose Howard University and that you chose Howard University. That I didn't flunk out of the School of Business despite all my nonsense, and that we were able to link up as frat brothers, like destiny brought us together. We have been friends for over 40 years, and it's been rich. It's been rich. I remember the time when you came into Philly for a minute and we met at the 30th terminal. We had a good time. And despite all your world travels, despite your accolades, which took me almost 20 minutes to read, despite all that, you have remained Tony, who is just so homecoming and still homecoming. The hugs still feel the same. I love you. And I know I say it all the time, and everybody like, okay, we get it. You love her. Well, there go on the I love her. Now that's our thing. Now we do love hard. So I just wanted you to know that I appreciate you. I appreciate you, your story. I appreciate you having the courage to let it go and to share your story with the world, because many people are still holding that in. And that's the reason why we're experiencing stress at the levels that we are. That's the reason why people's nervous systems are out of whack. And I'm sure that you are in a better place, even physically, that you've allowed yourself to release that and do what you love. But not only that, helps so many other people do the same. So I can't thank you enough for being a guest on the show. I want to kind of recap our show. Tony told us very early that family was her inspiration. She gave us an amazing story of the ancestors who held her arms up while she was traveling her journey, and a journey it was. And she told us that the older she became, the more reflective she has become. And the same will happen for you, and that her village always rooted for her, and that indeed was her secret sauce, right? She told us that she bases her life on Micah 6:8. Tony, can you quote that scripture for us, please?
Live justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
I need everybody to go read that today, because it means something, not just to Tony, but to all of us. She told us that when her children were little, she got lost in this, but her intentions were good. She built a business around her children. Still, didn't even know she was lost. She was still in that phase of being the shield and taking care of everyone. And she found in that moment that the power of arts was in advocacy. She realized the importance of telling your story. She said what she learned was that theater allows you an inside perspective into someone else's story. And she fell in love at that moment. And she's telling us every day, if you see her page, if you follow her on her Facebook page, she hashtags everything she does. We must tell our stories. You want to get free? You tell your story. She wrote a book about it. She said, let it go. She said, let it go, because Queen's got a too. Like, as a mom, Tony, I remember the days you're like, okay, I'll be out in a minute. Stop knocking on the door if they weren't already at your feet. I mean, even these days, my cat sits at my feet. I said, can the queen just have a moment on the throne, okay? So what happened was, like many of us ladies, business women, especially just any woman, she lost her voice taking care of children. She, like many women, she was trained to protect her son, her father, her husband, and she became their shield. And we do that. We take bullets for them. But again, she decided to tell her story after holding it in for so many years. And in that, she realized that travel was her therapy, that getting out and getting to Africa, leaving those kids over, Tony left those kids over Thanksgiving and Christmas. They knew she was in business. Like, where the heck is mommy? Like, daddy, we love you, but you don't know how to do what mommy does. And in that, she has become a woman who is now impacting the world. We know that in August, she will, which conference, what number is this for you? Number 14 years. I've watched it. I've chronicled. I see it chronicled on social media. But this year, the theme is rooted in resilience, where we're going to be there. I'm going to tell Kathy, Twyla, Phaedra, I'm going to get two votes on this. We're going to Atlanta. Now, we gotta go support our girl. Now, life is too short not to support our girl. And you need to get to Atlanta, too. And guess what? We got an exclusive today. She's partnered with Spelman and what's his name again?
Latanya Richardson and Samuel Jackson Performing Arts Center.
That's where we're going to be. That's where we're going to be. So, Tony, with all that being said, you know I love you.
I love you too.
For counting it not robbery to be on the Dory on Purpose show. I got a sneaky suspicion you're going to be back on another month, because I need more from you. I need more, Tony. So all that being said, y'all, thank you so much. We're coming back tomorrow with another amazing interview as we close out the month of March, as we continue to tell her story, the honoring the female entrepreneur, because guess what, baby? We do it all. And Tony has proven today that if you're a female out there, it's time to tell your story so that you can become the lady that God intended you to be. So we thank you once again from the Dory on Purpose show as we say goodbye. Take care of yourself. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Dory on Purpose show. Peace and love, y'all.